Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick, and this is David Smith, Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. Dave, our guest is probably familiar to folks who follow IFI. A while back, Dr. Duke Pesta spoke at several forums hosted by IFI on Common Core. Dr. Pesta is Associate Professor of English at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh and is Academic Director of Freedom Project Academy, the American Opinion Foundation's online classical school built on Judeo-Christian values. Dr. Pesta, Donald Trump is president, his education secretary is Betsy DeVos, and Common Core is no longer a problem in government schools. Or is it, Dr. Pesta?
Yeah, I was very embarrassed when Betsy DeVos, about 6 or 7 months ago, came out and said that we don't have to get rid of Common Core because Common Core has gone away, as if somehow magically the election of Donald Trump went back and sort of quietly undid 7 years of bad education decisions and implementations and policies. No, what happened, guys, is that Common Core did not go away. In fact, it's now swept the entire government schools. It's on every aspect, not just English and math anymore, the way it was, we were told it was going to be. Common Core pedagogy, Common Core worldview, Common Core curricula, it has permeated basically every aspect of our kids' schooling. And what happened is, with Betsy DeVos, that most states, feeling tremendous pressure to pull out of this federal program, simply allayed that pressure by taking the Common Core state standards and renaming them. That's all they did. For instance, Florida renamed the Common Core state standards the Sunshine State Standards. And that was all they did. They kept 100% of what it was. And they now argue that it's not a federal program anymore. These are Florida standards. Indiana took the standards, which were Common Core, simply renamed them the Indiana State Standards. Now Indiana moms and dads are dealing with Common Core, only it's given a state name. So when Betsy DeVos says that Common Core went away, all that means is that most states simply rebranded it, but kept it exactly as it was.
So don't be fooled.
Yeah. Don't, I think, in fooled. Illinois, they renamed them the Karl Marx state standards, but I, you know, so if you could weed out the leftist indoctrination part of Common Core, would there be anything left?
What you have with Common Core, and we've been proven right, not to toot one's own horn here, but, and there's been a lot of other people, activists besides me doing this, but pretty much everything we said that was going to happen with Common Core has happened. They were what we said they were. They are low standards, and they are low standards by design. They are, in many instances, lower than what most states had to begin with. And the premise and the reason why is what you just said, right? It's the social justice, the political aspect of this. For 50 years, we've been trying to educate the kids under 40 years under the Federal Department of Education. And what happened is what's always happened. There's very little you can do to help the lowest performing kids. Kids who don't want to be in school, kids who don't have an aptitude for it, kids who have no family support, kids who come from poorer backgrounds. It's very, very difficult to help those kids and to make sure that every kid is moving forward. So what the feds decided to do with things like Common Core is, rather than trying to lower the low-achieving kids, we're going to implement social justice education, progressive left-wing social justice education. What does that mean? It means we can't raise all the low performing kids, but what we can do is pull down the high performing kids.
And that's what they're doing.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're leveling off education so that kids aren't allowed to move forward. We're not asking kids to learn as much. We aren't giving kids really challenging lessons at each grade level. We're holding them back artificially so that the gaps between the high performers and the low performers seem to be much less now. And all this means is that the low-performing kids aren't getting any better, and the high-performing kids are being artificially held down.
Well, what should we be doing for these low-performing children?
You have, it's like everything else. You have to set the bar high. You have to demand excellence, number one, and that means that you push kids harder. We have more family accountability and more teacher accountability. And if we give the teachers Because I do not believe that most American teachers want to indoctrinate kids. They want to teach them. And so if you get the government out of the way, you get some of the state pressures out of the way, and tell teachers very clearly, if we want kids to be doing calculus by their senior year in high school, if we want kids to be able to read the best books of Western culture by the time they're seniors in English class in high school, then by fourth grade, they ought to be reading and doing this kind of math. By sixth grade, they ought to be reading these books, doing this kind of math. By ninth grade, and so on and so on. Make the standards grade appropriate. Give teachers more control over those standards and getting kids to them. And then for the kids who can't make it and won't make it, then you do what we've done for a long time. You have remediation, right? That's all you're going to be able to do. You slow it down for those kids. But the bulk of those kids need to be moving at a much faster pace.
That, and what about local control, Duke? Local communities, they could have a tremendous impact on the quality of education in their community.
Yeah, when I mention the teachers, that's what I mean. I don't expect the teachers to be kind of rogues that just develop their own particular brand of teaching. What I mean is that, you know, it's back the way it was, you know, 100 years ago, where you have local communities. Those of us who live, I live in Appleton, Wisconsin, right? About 20 minutes south of Green Bay.
Yep.
And so it would be as if Appleton now, it's a 70,000 city, person city, and four or five school districts. And so each district then, the moms and dads in that district should only pay real estate and property taxes to fund the schools in their district.
That's right.
And that then gives them control. If you've got teachers who are failing, you've got a fourth grade teacher, most of whose kids are doing second grade work, you get rid of her. That's Union right. be damned, you get rid of her. And you allow local moms and dads who are paying directly into local schools to have a much greater say at how their kids are doing.
That's good.
What should a parent or even a student do if they feel they're being held back because of the Common Core standards?
One of the most insidious aspects of Common Core is that it's so pervasive, right? The objective was to get this kind of methodology and this kind of pedagogy and curriculum into every school in the country, and they've more or less done it, every public school, which means that kids now have no options to move ahead, and all kids are being forced into the same at very young ages, elementary school, only allowed to read and do the certain math a certain way, which means so-called bright kids are being hampered. A mathematically talented fourth grader is not allowed to do math as math. Fourth grade math, now you have to spend a lot of time writing about math, drawing pictures in math, doing a lot of non-mathematical things, which actually inhibits those kids who can do math. In other words, there's no place in the school for a talented math kid to really do talented math anymore. They're artificially chained to their age group. And so many kids, they get frustrated and bored, but they don't know why. They don't know why they don't like math. And the reason is because they're not doing math. And so when you have collectivized this across the country, you have normalized and collectivized a slower pace, a lower level of standards, and a weaker curriculum. The bright kids don't know what they're missing. They don't know in elementary and middle school to say, hey, I should be reading better books. So they conform and they start acting out. And what you've created is a group of high-achieving kids who are bored and restless and not being challenged. And they're now becoming the classroom problems because they don't have any way to occupy their minds, which are being misused.
Wow. You know, many parents would like to pull their kids out of the public schools, the government schools, because of Common Core and LGBT agenda and all that stuff.
Tony Perkins recently wrote an article about that very thing, saying, why is homeschooling becoming so much more popular? And in that article, he said that after the Texas shooting, the calls that came into the homeschool association doubled, more than doubled, actually. And, you know, as Monty was saying, you know, you've got bullying, you got indoctrination, you have peer influences. Of course, you've got all kinds of academic failings. And Duke, you can talk to that a little bit. But here in Illinois, you know, eighth grade algebra is only, those who are meeting proficiency, they're only 30%. And only 34% of our students are passing the PARC test, the Common Core test. And only 38% of our students are passing the SAT or being proficient, college ready, which is really sad. But then I want to point out, I don't know if you saw this, Duke, but the Chicago Tribune just recently did a story about Chicago Public Schools and sexual abuse that's been going on in our schools for more than a decade. 520 reported cases. Now, there's probably many more not reported, but 520 cases reported to the police over a 10-year period. That's one a week. I mean, are our kids safe in our schools? What our government schools are failing on so many different levels.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I appreciate the fact that whenever there's a school shooting, and they're horrible, want to make that clear, whenever there's a school shooting, interest in homeschool goes up. And I suppose that's parents being responsible. It's obviously clear from Parkland, when the local police visited this kid's home, the shooter's home 39 times, when the local FBI had been notified on two separate occasions about the danger of this child, the school themselves, they knew what this kid was, and no one was able to protect those kids. But here's the thing. School shootings are shockingly rare when you think about it. I mean, one's too many. But statistically, the odds of your kid being shot at the government schools is pretty low. And I appreciate moms and dads wanting to protect their kids by pulling them out. And that's a good idea. But think about the grave danger your kid is because he's not getting an education. Most American school kids are not getting an education that's going to prepare them for college or going to prepare them for their careers. They are not getting an education that's going to let them take care of their family somewhere down the road.
Yep.
These
yep.
kids are being exposed to dangerous transgender ideology in first grade. They're being compelled to talk about advanced sexuality in elementary school when their young minds are incapable of understanding it.
Yes.
Those are the real dangers our families
yes.
face. I wish more moms and dads would feel the same way about the miseducation and the destruction of our kids' moral fiber as they do the potential for shooters. If that happened, then we'd have millions of moms pulling their kids out of public schools.
That's right.
You know, one thing about the situation in Chicago public schools, well, it has prompted a decision to do more background checks. You would think if you're working in a school with kids, those part of your employment would be to have a background check in the first place. But, you know, what do we know?
You know, Monty, I drove a school bus for 10 years trying to make ends meet as to supplement my income. And I had to go through an FBI background check and get my fingerprints checked. So they were pretty strict with school bus drivers. I'm shocked that they're not as equally strict with the people who would actually teach in the administration. So,
well, I'm a university professor. That's my primary job. And one of the things I have to do is teach a lot of education majors. I'm an English professor. So if somebody wants to be a high school English teacher, they inevitably have to take classes with me.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, and there are exceptions, of course, but the education department at our major universities is one of the intellectually least accomplished departments on any college campus. It's a bottom feeder. Kids who fail out of math or kids who fail out of the sciences, kids who can't really hack it in real English classes, they gravitate to education. So inevitably, over my 25 years of teaching, most of the worst students I have ever taught have been education majors. They're there in education because they can't do anything else. And it's almost impossible to fail out of an education department as long as your politics line up with the liberal politics of the university.
Wow. I mean, so you're saying that the bottom feeders, I think there's probably one level lower. Those are the kids that are in political science classes. Anyway, let me stop there. Let's take a break. And we'll come right back with Dr. Duke Pesta, and we'll finish this conversation.
'Tis the season for Supreme Court surprises. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Justice Anthony Kennedy has been called the most powerful man in the judiciary. Since his appointment to the Supreme Court by President Reagan, Kennedy has been the wild card, sometimes voting with the conservatives, sometimes with the liberals. He's been the deciding vote in more landmark cases than any judge in recent memory. Well, late last week, Justice Kennedy announced his retirement, meaning that President Trump will get to appoint a second justice. The result of the inevitable confirmation battle in the Senate could mean a historic shift on the court. Kennedy gave us liberal rulings such as Planned Parenthood v. Casey, Lawrence v. Texas, and of course, Obergefell. And he enshrined the idea of liberty as, quote, the right to define one's own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. If, as I pray, his successor doesn't share that philosophy, big changes are ahead, especially for life and religious liberty. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
Americans have been traveling down the health insurance highway for decades. But lately, it's been taking us to places we don't want to go. For Christians, it's hard to know which road to take. Or is it? Samaritan Ministries provides a different direction, a biblical path for their members to pray for each other and share financially in each other's medical needs.
This idea that Samaritan has adopted from the book of Acts should permeate all parts of our lives, not just health sharing. We, as a body of believers, are living out New Testament Christianity. This is what God intended for the church.
Do you believe that you need an insurance company, or do you believe that God will provide your needs? And there are people that you've never met before who are going to pray for you and meet your needs. There's another way.
Looking for a new direction for your health care? Visit us online at SamaritanMinistries.org.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute, Illinois Family Action, and we're joined by Dr. Duke Pesta, the Academic Director of Freedom Project Academy. Dr. Pesta, you have a weekly podcast. Tell us about that, and how can people get involved?
Yeah. Thank you, Monty. We have a live TV show that we do once a week right now. It airs Thursdays at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. So in Illinois, it's Central Standard Time as well. And you can watch it live then, but it's immediately uploaded for viewing on YouTube or Facebook, or you can podcast us. So for more information about the Dr. Duke Show, visit us at fpeusa.org, fpeusa.org, and let us know what you think of the show.
So do you broadcast that live on YouTube or Facebook, or is it just on your face, on your website?
We do it live on YouTube and live on Facebook at, again, 2 o'clock Central Standard Time on Thursdays.
Oh, no, I didn't know that part. So, and I'm a big fan of the podcast, but I drive a lot, so I get to listen to you frequently. So, and you just said that you're going to be including Charlie Kirk in your podcast for a weekly segment pretty soon, huh?
Yeah, we're really excited. Local Chicago boy there in Illinois, Charlie Kirk, who's made a great name for himself, is going to be doing a weekly interview segment with me on the show every Thursday. And that begins this week. So we're very excited to be talking to Charlie on a weekly basis.
Fantastic.
Dr. Pesta, as I kind of alluded to a little earlier, a lot of parents would like to pull their kids out of the public school system. They'd like to send them maybe to a Christian school, can't afford that. Homeschooling, they'd like to do that. But they just don't have the time. They might be...
they don't feel equipped.
Yeah, they don't feel equipped or just too busy holding down a couple jobs, paying the high taxes here in Illinois. And that's really where Freedom Project Academy can come in and help these parents. Tell us about it.
Well, we are a school, a complete online school from kindergarten through high school. We can do individual classes for mom and dad, or we can do the whole school year. We are a fully accredited school nationally, which means if you get an online diploma with Freedom Project Academy, your kids can go to college anywhere. We have kids in major universities all across the country now. We had a kid last semester who got a full ride to Baylor University. We've got kids at Hillsdale College in Michigan. So what do? We are an online homeschool with live teachers, not recorded lessons. We have live teachers who teach your kids in real time through the computer with other classrooms, kids in other classes across the country. So your kids will have students with them in the classroom, not just themselves. And they actually have a really hands-on education. We are rooted in Judeo-Christian values, and we are classical schooling, which means none of this Common Core nonsense, traditional, old-fashioned, tried-and-true, verifiable ways of educating your kids to be really prepared for college or career by the time they graduate with us. And some moms and dads, they use us as, you know, they're comfortable teaching their kids and homeschooling. They're comfortable teaching their kids how to read and do great books and teach history, but they don't know how to teach geometry or calculus to their kids or physics or chemistry. So some moms and dads will do it themselves and then use us for a class here and there. Other moms and dads will use us for the entire school year. And we do consider our program missionary work, ministry work. So we have the lowest online tuition available, and our online school cost is cheaper by far than any private school you could actually send your kids to. So we're enrolling for about another month for the fall 2018 school year. Take a look and check out if we can be helpful to you. We are fpeusa.org, Freedom Project Academy.
So, Dr. Duke, you said that you're missionary oriented, and I just want to hit you on this. So, you know, Lori Higgins, who writes frequently for IFI, on the education issue, she writes every week for us, but she's often said, and I think she's spot on, that churches and pastors, church leaders really need to think about helping parents, especially single mothers or others who can't afford going to a Christian school, get out of our government schools because they are a clear and present danger to the not only physical well-being of our kids, but our mental and intellectual well-being of our children. So is this something that maybe churches could use and partner with you guys to offer to their congregation and to the needy people in the community?
Yes, we actually have a church partnership program.
Hey.
And what we do is you think about how many of our wonderful churches are busy hubs of activity on Saturdays and Sundays, but during the 5 days between Monday and Friday, they're relatively empty. And so what if we were able to, you know, beam, which is easy enough, all you need is a big screen computer monitor, beam our classrooms into church buildings, which we already have a number of partnership churches we work with. This way, mom and dad, instead of dropping their kids off at the public school, could drop their kid off at the local church for 3-4 hours a day. And then we'll have, usually a youth pastor or a volunteer mom who oversees the kids while they're learning in class in real time. If we could start turning some of these churches into Christian schools without a huge overhead cost to the church, that's, to me, I think you hit on something. The biggest, most frustrating aspect, I think, of our American government school systems is how it is so demonstrably true that kids go through the public schools and they, by the time they graduate college, and many times by the time they graduate high school, they have completely repudiated their faith. They have left the faith. They have come to believe the lies that Christianity is nothing more but more than bigotry and oppression. And I am stunned at how many pastors do not want to get involved in this. They've got teachers sitting in their pews or in their churches every Saturday, Sunday. And they don't want to offend the teachers and they don't want to drive a wedge between them and the teachers. But fact is that if you're a Christian pastor and you know for a fact that the more moms and dads who send their kids to public schools, the fewer Christians there will be down the road.
That's right.
Why aren't the pastors being more proactive about finding ways to help address this?
Well, and the thing is, you know, many churches have missionary budgets for overseas ministries and missionary and trying to, you know, propagate the gospel. But we're losing our families right here at home. And I think Jesus said, what good is it to save the world if you don't save your own soul? And
I think that's a brilliant point that we have missionary money set aside to convert non-Christians to Christianity in foreign countries. And I'll tell you this right now. The non-Christian in South America, the non-Christian in the Bornean jungle, for instance, yeah, who's never heard the name of Christ, that Christian, that person is much safer. If you're ministering to a foreign country that's never heard the name of Christ, you think about what's happening in the public schools. Here you have American progressives who know what Christianity is and have absolutely rejected it. They lie about it. They mischaracterize it. They paint it as evil. Which is worse for kids? I think you're right. I think American kids who are raised Christian, set loose in public schools, are at much, much greater danger,
yes,
than many of the missionary kids are.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned something that kind of piqued my interest there, Dr. Pesta. A couple things, actually. There are a lot of online academic offerings right now, digital offerings, but yours is based on Judeo-Christian values. And, you know, that only not prepares people for the future of America and the future that these young people will have to deal with in the culture that they will face.
Yeah, I think the single greatest factor in why our schools are failing is because God has gone from them. You are not allowed to talk about faith. You're not allowed to talk about morality as it emanates from Judeo-Christian philosophy, from the Bible. You're not allowed to discipline kids. I mean, the boundaries, the inability to have, if you don't have discipline in the classroom, you cannot teach kids anything. If you do not have a moral foundation for kids, in other words, if you're not developing kids on a character basis, as well as an educational basis, you're not going to teach them anything. And it's not a coincidence that when God was removed from schools in the early 1960s, that's when the government schools really, really started this downward death spiral. And it's getting, and the more progressive and the more political our government schools become, the more failed they are. We keep dumping more and more money into the public schools. And as far as education goes, we're getting much, much less return. All our kids are, the one thing our kids are doing well, and I put well in quotation marks, the one thing that sticks with our kids from their public school experience is all the radical, progressive, transgender,
yes,
homosexual, the big government civics, all the progressive issues, the ideology that the public schools teach. That's all our kids are leaving school with. They're not very good at math. They don't read at a very high level, but they're all good little progressives in the making. And they're so we're not teaching the kids. We're not educating them. We're politicizing them.
Well, you know, Deuteronomy 6 tells parents that we should be impressing upon our kids a love for God on our kids all the time. And it says, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lay down, as you sit down to eat, you're supposed to be doing this at specific points in the day. In other words, all day long. And that's exactly what the left is doing. They're impressing their religious or irreligious views upon our kids. It is the religion of secularism. And I can't say that word right. But you know what I'm saying. It's humanism. That's what they're impressing upon our kids. Pastor Vody Bachman used to say to parents, if you send your kids to Caesar, don't be surprised when they come home Romans. And that's what's happening. And so I don't think we can overstate the need for parents to pull their kids out of government schools. And this, your project, Freedom Project Academy, is a wonderful option. There's so many different options out there for parents now. This is a great option that enables you to do that.
I think you're right. And I think that parents have to wake up and realize, first of all, that public schools aren't free. This idea that you're sending your kids to school for free is nonsense. Right. Huge, huge taxes are drained, especially in a state like Illinois,
right,
where the taxes are just, you're spending more and more money of your check every year to fund schools where the very reason you send your kids to schools isn't being met. You send your kids to school to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they're taking your money. And what they're doing is they're teaching your kids radical leftist ideology and ignoring high-level reading, writing, and arithmetic.
That's right. That's right.
And so what you said about the Bible is correct. If you read the Bible carefully, if you understand the Bible, we, mom and dad, you are the primary educators of your kids.
That's right.
If you are farming your kids' education out for 18 hours a day to strangers who not only don't share your faith, but dislike it.
Yes.
Then you are not, then you have failed the primary test of being a parent. And we have got to recognize that if there's one gift we give our kids, it's education. And you said it every day, all day.
That's right.
When we're with our kids, we're teaching them things. We're teaching them how to sew or how to throw a baseball, right? Or we're teaching them manners.
Or teaching them how to watch the Avengers and how to think through it in a discussion afterwards.
Right. But when it comes to, you know, the important stuff, the really important stuff that's going to allow them to have a family and take care of it and to have a career and to walk with God and to teach their own kids to walk in the ways of God, we utterly farm that out to strangers with a hostile agenda.
Now, a stereotype of the homeschool community is that they all drive 15-passenger vans because they have these huge families. Now, to some extent, that's true. I am a homeschooling family. My wife and I homeschool 7 kids. Is there a discount for that kind of a frequent flyer use of Freedom Project Academy, if you will?
Well, what we do is being a charitable organization, what we do is we have a pool of money, a significant pool of money every year that we use for tuition assistance. So rather than just give blanket discounts, what we do is we allow anybody who applies to our school can apply for tuition assistance. And so about half of our FPE kids are getting up to half of their tuition paid for.
That's beautiful.
Out of our tuition assistance program.
Thank you. Praise God. That's very important for
me. Well, Dr. Pastor, you also talked about the classical education aspects of your online academy. And you can, it's really a kind of a sure way to make sure your kid gets into a good college. But what about a kid who doesn't want to go into college and just would like to have a career with a good paying job? Can Freedom Project Academy help that child?
unlike the public schools, which are regimented, and now because of the federalization of the schools through things like Common Core, there's very little ability for public schools to deviate from the standard charted course map. We, on the other hand, have tremendous flexibility. So if we've got a seventh grader who's a seventh grader in every way, but she's capable of doing 12th grade math, guess what? We give her all seventh grade classes except for math, and then we let her into our 12th grade math class.
Beautiful.
Right? If we have a ninth grader who's a ninth grader in every way, but he's a little bit behind in reading, he's only a seventh grader in reading, we'll bump him for that one class down to seventh grade and try to catch him up. And so there's that. So we have that kind of flexibility. And we have greater flexibility as well in terms of the thing that you just brought up. We can be really flexible. We have, for instance, for kids who know they don't want to go to college, they want to have trade careers, which is perfectly legitimate. We have business and accounting math, right? So kids who don't need calculus to get into college, who just want enough math to be able to enter the world.
Who want to start a plumbing company, for example, and now they want to be able to manage their plumbing company.
Bingo. So we have basically, we call it consumer math for kids who want to learn about mortgages and finance and interest rates, how to balance checkbooks and the stock market, how to invest in stocks and bonds. Yeah. So math is, we have a different kind of math program for kids who have different ambitions. We also have, for kids who are really hardcore, we don't just have biology class in high school. We have an advanced biology class. We don't just have economics. We also have an advanced economics course. We actually have astronomy and physics for kids at the highest levels of high school. So whether your kids just want a basic, good old-fashioned read, write, and think education, or they want to prepare themselves for Ivy League colleges, we have a curriculum that will fit your kids' needs.
That sounds pretty robust.
Well, what if you're, what if you're already in college? Can Freedom Project Academy help those students who are in college right now?
Well, once you're in college, that assumes you have a high school diploma. So unless, I mean, anybody is welcome to take our classes. If there's a high school, if there's a college sophomore who feels like he was ripped off by his high school and college history courses off all the anti-Americanism, certainly a college sophomore can join in one of our high school history classes and get an actual history class on American culture that is fair to American culture as opposed to biased. So those are always possibilities as well. We have adults who sometimes want to take certain classes. And so there are things that we can do to help with that as well. But we'd love to eventually get into the college market. But right now we're focused on, because that's where the biggest problem
K through 12.
Education, yeah, K-12 education. That sets the foundation for the rest of a kid's life. And if they're getting this kind of, and I, as a university professor, guys, I can tell you this, the college freshmen and sophomores and juniors I'm seeing are way, way behind kids were 20 years ago. They are much less capable of reading, much less capable of arguing and speaking and thinking
and writing
than they were just two decades ago. So you're already beginning to see the deleterious effects of this kind of one-size-fits-all social justice education. It's actually now beginning to destroy the colleges, because colleges are finding themselves actually having to lower their standards to meet these college juniors and seniors and freshmen and sophomores, to meet them where they are. Standards are being lowered at the college level as well.
And so parents and grandparents, if you want to give your kids a foot up, a leg up on the society that is circling the drain, this is a great opportunity. Pull your kids out of the government schools, homeschool them, and then consider Freedom Project Academy. What a great option for the kids. But, and parents and grandparents, we don't want to limit it just to parents, because grandparents, you might be able to help your grandchildren in a significant way here and protect them.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of grandparents that we've talked to have reached out to their own kids to see if they could help them make this transition. And so we are, again, Freedom Project Academy. We have a unique solution. One, there's many solutions to the problem of American government schools. We are one of them, and we're helping more and more families every year. And we still have about a month of enrollment left. So the fall 2018 school year, unfortunately, will be on us very, very. We know what happens. Once the 4th of July hits, summer starts waning quickly. Now's the time to consider alternative schooling. And if we can help you, give us a call. Well,
give us
the website.
Phone number. Give us the website. And at what age group do you start taking enrollment?
Kindergarten all the way through high school. You can jump in at literally any point in the education. If your kid's a sophomore in high school, been in public schools all his life, you want to put him with us, we can make that work. But we start with kids as young as 5 years old. And this, the simple, easiest way is to click the website, all the phone numbers, all the information, sample classes, our curriculum guide. You could look at every, click on a link to every single grade level and see exactly what books your kids will be reading. Go to fpeusa.org, and all that is there absolutely free for your
perusal. Dr. Pesta, thank you so much. There's so much there. We need to get you back sometime. We really appreciate your comments.
Love to come back anytime, you guys. And Dave, if you could ever use any more talks throughout brick and mortar talks down there in Illinois, we'd love to come back down.
Absolutely. We'd love to have somebody come to the People's Republic of Illinois. All right. God bless you.
Sad commentary, isn't it, when Wisconsin looks downright conservative compared to Illinois?
It's true, though. We've got people moving away from Illinois into Wisconsin, into Michigan. So what do you expect? You know? Oh, well.
Well, guys, hang in there, and let's talk again.
All right. God bless
Dave,
you.
Dave, our matching gift plan, the deadline is nearing, and tell us about that, and how can people pitch in?
Right. So in Illinois Family Action, we have a summertime matching challenge, which means for every dollar you give, it's matched by another dollar, up to $20,000. We have a couple of great, generous donors who want to help us get prepared for the fall, the November election. And they've given us a $20,000 matching challenge in hopes that we can raise a total of $40,000 to help get the Christian vote out in key districts in Illinois. One of the things I have to tell you, we're really focusing on the Illinois House at this point. We need three pro-life votes if we hope to stop negative, terrible, deadly bills like House Bill 40, taxpayer funding of abortion in the future. Three. That doesn't sound like too much. And so we're really pushing hard. We've got like 7 or 8 key races that we're going to be focusing on if we have the resources. So I want to just encourage all the listeners, if you haven't heard about this matching challenge, please send in 25, 50, 100. If you can do more, great. We'd really appreciate it. The more hands, the more contributions, the merrier. The matching challenge actually ends on July 5th, so the day after July 4th. So we don't have a whole lot of time. We've got a couple weeks left here, and I think we can do it. So just visit our website, ifiaction.org, and click on the donate button, not the donut button, but the donate button, and help
us
out.
You mentioned that we're helping pro-life candidates. We're not just helping people who say they're pro-life. These are tried and true pro-life candidates.
That's correct. These are people that we've vetted, we've talked to. Even in the primary, Illinois Family Action was very involved, and we've gotten some really good, solid Christians with pro-life, pro-family views who are going to be in the General Assembly next year. I'm excited about that, but I'd be more excited if we can get 3, 4, 5 more. Now, pro-lifers in the Illinois House. We need a total of 9 to flip the House, so Michael Madigan is no longer in charge. I don't think that's doable this year, but I think it is doable in a 2-step process this year and then 2 years from now in 2020. I think we could flip it. But in the meantime, we need to get 3 to 4 new pro-lifers in Springfield, in the Illinois House, helping to stop the agenda.
Right. What's the website once again, and where? How can people participate?
Right, just go to IFI Action and click on the matching challenge button to the right. It may even pop up for you, and just send a donation, whatever you can, to help
us.
Well,
thank you, folks, for tuning into Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.